From KALW in San Francisco, I'm Max Jacobs, and this is Liner Notes. That's the voice of Casey Johansson, one of my favorite singers coming out of the Bay Area these days. And as you hear more of her music, you can start to understand why. The piano sets the mood. It's sometimes playful, sometimes somber, but really it's her voice that pulls you in. On the two albums that she's released so far, you'll hear her searching for a home while trying to remember the one that she left behind. One of the songs off her latest album, Grand Ghosts, really explores that struggle.
Anybody who's in a family can understand, through all the tragedy and loss, you just keep going. They're your family. It's that unconditional love that you are like, okay, I'll keep carrying you.
Well, there's a wide array of music we're going to hear from her. There's some love songs in there and some that are more complicated.
There's like several. It was like about several different men, you know. I'm like, hello. Not all romantic even, just like, come on, like,
but all clueless.
Why don't you listen, you know?
We really are the worst. But I'm getting off topic. I'm going to turn up her song Pinecone, and then we'll hear some of those tracks she describes, and all the records she brought in. The ones that matter to her. Stay with us. Welcome back to Liner Notes on KLW. I'm Max Jacobs, and I'm sitting here with Casey Johansson. Thanks for being on the show.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
So you live in Bolinas these days.
Yes.
But when you moved to the Bay initially, were you in San Francisco? Were
mm-hmm.
you, okay.
Yeah. In the Tenderloin.
Oh.
That's where I first arrived.
That's a little different than
yeah.
Bolinas.
Yeah, I had no idea
what
the Tenderloin even was.
Yeah.
This was like 10 years ago. I just saw it downtown. I was like, okay. I want to be in the city. That sounds good.
But you're originally from Michigan, is that right?
Yeah. Well, I was born in Michigan. I was raised in Colorado.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And how did you end up out here in the first place?
Well, I'd been living in Boston. I went to school there and really didn't like it. I knew it was time to move somewhere, and there was nowhere else I really wanted to go. I'd visited a few times and thought it was beautiful and had a feeling that I'd figure it out.
When you moved out here, well, I guess I'm curious because I think of you mainly behind the piano, but you play a lot of instruments.
Mm-hmm.
How many instruments do you play altogether?
Just, you know, like the basic ones, the basic band ones. I'm trying to play more drums these days and bass, but mostly it's keys and guitar.
On your album, it's mostly keys and guitar?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Albums.
But I didn't really play guitar until I moved here.
Was there a moment that you thought specifically that you knew you wanted to sing? Was it music going to be something that you wanted to explore always, or was it singing?
I always wanted to sing. I think a lot of kids just really want to sing and perform, you know? Kids just want to play, so... But I'm not going to say that I had, like, an above-average connection to music, but I just loved, like, the Beatles songs. I loved singing along to them, and I've started figuring out how to harmonize at a really young age. It just all started feeling like something that was a gift or came naturally or made me... It was, like, as a young person, like, this makes me feel good, you know? I think when you find that something that makes you feel good, it's a crucial moment in one's life, you know? And I don't know, that just slowly started developing, but maybe middle school kind of became more fully realized. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to talk about some of the music that you listened to growing up, and you brought in the entire Rubber Soul album by the Beatles.
Yeah.
So can you remember where you were when you heard this for the first time?
So I spent the first 6 years of my life living in a really teeny tiny town called Leadville in Colorado. It's way up in the mountains. And my mom was an artist and kind of had moved there to be with my dad. And she would commute to Denver, to the city, to work. And so we drove a lot. She would take me with her. So as a little kid, I was just in a car with my mom, listening to a lot of good music and singing along. And that is definitely, Rubber Soul is one that I remember more than others.
Was there anything in particular about it that, I mean, one of the songs you wanted to play was Norwegian Wood.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything specific as a kid that stood out about that song?
I mean, that's just such a classic song that I think if anybody heard it, they'd react to it. But as a kid, I don't know, it's such a, he's, you know, telling the story. So it's very, very visual. So I think as a kid with a very awake imagination, I was able to create the whole, you know, what does it look like? And what does the loft look like? And laughed, I should say.
Did your reaction change at all hearing it later as an adult?
No, it's interesting because I've thought about that, like songs that you listen to a lot when you were younger and then revisit when you're older, and especially being a musician, how do I hear them differently? But
I ask only because I can remember hearing it too, and like, oh, it's a simple song, it's a story, and then later hearing it's essentially about a one-night stand.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think as a kid, I mean, I knew what was going on for them a little bit. I slowly learned.
Yeah.
You know.
Something was worth talking about in that song.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's listen into a little bit of Norwegian Wood. This Bird Has Flown from Rubber Soul.
I wanted a girl, or should I say, she wanted me. She showed me her room, isn't it good, Norwegian wood. She asked me to stay and she told me to sit anywhere. Thank you.
Another song that you brought in, and I wonder if maybe this is sort of in a similar vein, the Moody Blues song, Out and In.
Uh-huh.
And it's from a 1969 album, which is supposedly sort of a concept album reacting to the moon landing.
Uh-huh.
It's a very whimsical song. Uh-huh. Was this also something that you heard from your childhood, from your parents?
So yeah, my mom was much more Beatles, Dylan, Joni, Paul Simon. My dad was like strictly the Moody Blues.
Wow.
So a little Fleetwood Mac, but mostly to this day obsessed with the Moody Blues, which it's very whimsical music, very orchestral and cinematic, and they were using the Mellotron and they were pretty psychedelic, but I don't really know specifically. Again, it's just one of those childhood memories that's hard to fully explain, but
yeah,
because it's kind of like trying to explain a dream or something. But this one is one that I guess is most memorable, or more memorable.
More memorable.
This is my first concert was the Moody Blues when I was 10.
Well, I wanted to also play your song "Oh Brother,"
mm-hmm.
because I feel like that really painted a portrait of growing up. I mean, I feel like I can picture the backyard that you're mm-hmm. describing in that mm-hmm. song. Mm-hmm. And you're singing to your younger brother in that song?
My older brother.
Your older brother. Oh, okay.
My older brother and my older brother's, so to speak, friends. But mostly my older brother. Yeah.
What did he think of the song?
I hope my brother's not listening, but he's a really sensitive he's a jock, but a sensitive one. But I think he's like, man, it's gonna make me cry. Yeah, I'm sure he was touched and didn't exactly know how to express himself.
But you did, so.
Yeah.
Great, well, let's listen to the Moody Blues, and then we'll hear Casey Johansson's song, Oh Brother.
Right there before your eyes.
sleeve and I'm pulling a thread. I wish I'd remembered what mother had said. When you lead, I should follow.
I'm Max Jacobs, and you're listening to Liner Notes. My guest is Casey Johansing. We just heard her song, Oh Brother, and before that, the Moody Blues song, Out and In. You brought in a Rufus Wainwright song, Art Teacher. So why did you want to play this for us, and what stood out about this song to you?
Everything. I mean, the lyrics, the story he told, it's kind of tragic and, you know, but so honest and open. And what I think struck me about his performance is, and what I've always loved about Rufus Wainwright recordings, is that as a vocalist, I mean, he's so, so talented, obviously. But you can hear little moments, like they don't edit out the little moments when he's breathing or sighing or having some non-singing reaction to a song. And there's a lot of that in this particular recording of Art Teacher, and then you get to the end of the song and it's like a live recording, but that still happens, I think, in a lot of his other recordings,
in his studio stuff as well.
But just how perfect it was then as a live recording, it was stunning. And I've seen him a number of times and he puts on a great show, but yeah, I just love that song so much. He's always been a huge inspiration as a singer, because he just really knows how to belt. He like really projects, and he has this hauntingly gorgeous but very present voice, like, that you can't ignore.
There I was in uniform, looking at the art teacher. I was taking our class to the Metropolitan Museum. He asked us what our favorite work of art was. Never could I tell him it was
wish I could tell him. Oh, I wish I could have told him. I looked at the Rubens and Rembrandts. I liked the John Singer Sargent. He told me he liked Turner. Never have I turned since then. No, never have I turned since.
This is Liner Notes. I'm Max Jacobs, and I'm sitting here with Bay Area musician Casey Johansing. You also brought in a Joanna Newsom song because I asked you to pick something that represented a lyrical influence.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's interesting that you chose a song by her for that subject. I guess for me, when I heard the first two albums that she put out,
mm-hmm.
you know, her voice is so distinct that, you know, the lyrics always came second, I guess.
Yeah.
And this album, she kind of changed the way she sang, partly because she had to. Her voice was getting damaged.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. Did that...
Mm-hmm.
Was it always interconnected for you when you were listening to her?
Yeah. Early Joanna, it took me a while because I wasn't accustomed to that sort of affect on a voice, but grew to love it and... she's just kind of otherworldly that she does bring it all together, these beautiful compositions and really incredible lyrics, I think. She's an amazing storyteller. And yeah, I really like how her voice has changed and how she's explored that. I respect it and think it's interesting. But I've always thought of her as an incredible lyricist and storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if one's... like, you know, I hear the voice first or the lyrics.
Yeah.
It's like a package deal with her. That's why I just think she's so amazing.
It is all sort of otherworldly.
She's like the full package. And she's beautiful.
She's dating Andy Samberg.
Yeah, I'm married.
Oh, are they married?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm behind. Well, I wanted to play another song off of your first album, Many Seasons. It also seemed like a love song. You can correct me if I'm wrong here. The song Sleepwalk. It seemed to me like, well, really a love song to this person in the song, but also to San Francisco. And they seemed interwoven in that way.
It's a love song like many of my, I, I guess, guess, love songs where it's more like a pining feeling. There's nobody really out there, though I wish there were. But
did you write this early on in your time in San Francisco?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So you still were looking for a musical community here, a community of friends?
I was starting to find my community around that time, yeah. That's when I was playing with Geographer, where, like, it was just about to leave.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think that was one of the songs, and Brother, that I was like, oh, I think I can go do my own thing now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It was confidence building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it came off beautifully, so the pining mm-hmm. turned mm-hmm. into a beautiful song. Well, let's hear the Joanna Newsom song, On a Good Day, and then we'll hear Sleepwalk.
Hey, 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 the end is near. On a good day, you can see the end from here. But I won't turn back now, though the way is clear. I will stay for the remainder. I saw life and I called it mine. I saw it drawn so sweet and fine. And I had begun to fill in all the lines, right down to what we name her. Our nature does not change by will. In the and miles and through, on a good day you can feel my love for you. Will you leave me be so that we can stay true to the path that you have chosen?
Come to take me out.
It's Liner Notes on KLW San Francisco. I'm Max Jacobs. Kasey Jo Hansing is my guest today, and we're hearing the end of her song Sleepwalk off her 2010 album Many Seasons. Before that was the tune On a Good Day by the Nevada City musician Joanna Newsom. I wanted to stick with San Francisco for another second,
okay,
because there's another song off that album Many Seasons that I love. It might be my favorite song, which is Angel Island.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were just talking about trying to find your home and your community and everything when you mm-hmm. when you move to a new place. Was there a moment when you had found that, like, it was maybe a performance of yours, or like, can you think of a distinct time in which you thought, like, okay, I'm home now, or this is, you know?
Oh yeah, it took me a while here. I was pretty lonely and kind of like, what the heck am I doing here? But slowly I started to meet people. There was just one of those moments in time where you're like, this, something special is happening here, and I'm so glad I'm a part of it. But basically started meeting other musicians in the community, Indiana Hale, Sleepy Todd, and Matt Adams of the Blank Tapes, and our good friend Sarah Krebs, and my friend Aslan, who has a group, Honeymoon Tree. All of these just incredible songwriters. And one night, Sleepy Todd and Indiana Hale, they were living together. They invited a bunch of us over, and we all just sat inside and smoked cigarettes and drank beer and passed the guitar around. And I remember just sitting there like, holy cow, this is amazing. Like, this is why I came.
Remember anything about this town before you came.
I'm Max Jacobs, and this is Liner Notes on KLW. I'm sitting here with the Bay Area musician Casey Johansing, and we've been spinning some records together.
Hello.
We've heard a few songs off of your first album from 2010, Many Seasons,
mm-hmm.
and we had talked about some of the themes in that,
mm-hmm.
particularly about moving to the Bay and finding a home. And your album from 2013, Grand Ghost, mm-hmm. it seemed like a little bit of a departure, both lyrically and musically.
Mm-hmm.
At least to me, it seemed a little bit darker,
mm-hmm.
Talking about loss. And I'm just wondering if what changed that, how that album kind of came to be so different.
For Grand Ghosts, I went in with my band and we were rehearsed and also I had my friend Jeremy Harris. He composed and arranged a lot of the strings, and that to me is such a huge part of the record.
Mm-hmm.
And emotionally, beyond what I'm singing about or whatever, I think that those string arrangements were a pretty huge part of the record, and his presence altogether, he helped me produce it. Lyrically, yeah, I'd lost two really dear people, and wrote songs for them, and those were two of the most important songs on the record for me. Yeah.
Which songs were those?
Disappearing Act and Grand Ghosts.
Mm-hmm. I wondered about Grand Ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
It's the title of the record as
yeah.
well, but there is a line in there, you know, in the end, if we can't go on, we'll carry each other home.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to decide if that was a hopeful and a comforting line, or, you know, there was something that was describing a feeling of being resigned to something darker. Maybe it's both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that song it's a lot about, you know, specifically I started writing it just after my grandfather passed away, and I was really close to him. But then it became more about my entire family and that side of my family, who I was really close to, that used to be this. It was a very connected, close, vibrant family. And then just over the years, kind of a lot of things have happened, and it's not really there anymore. But through it all, through all the tragedy, and anybody who's in a family can understand, through all the tragedy and loss, you just keep going. They're your family, even if you aren't maybe as connected to them as a friend or something. It's that unconditional love that you are like, okay, like I'll keep carrying you. Mm-hmm. So as a I guess a hopeful thing, or just, you know, surrender. Mm-hmm.
Standing in the garden, all the wisest of men. Ooh, 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 ooh.
I had asked for you to bring in a couple songs. I guess that I kind of associated with feelings that I took from that song in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the songs that you brought in was a Beck song.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you were listening to while you were making this album or during this time in your life?
No. That was a hard one for me. Because there's all music for me gets me through hard times,
uh-huh.
You know. But I guess there are lines in that song that always kind of strike me, and I feel just kind of melt me. And I love that record so much. So,
is there one line specifically that you remember?
I always really loved the line, "I've seen the love you had turning into hay." I think that's the right. It's hard. I've never just said it. I always just sing along to it.
Yeah.
Just clearly something ending, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, let's listen to the Beck song, End of the Day, off his album, Sea Change.
Dead before.
End of the Day by Beck is the song we're hearing. We're in fact getting to the end of our show here on Liner Notes. Let's listen back into my conversation with musician Casey Johansing.
I wanted to also play your song Honey Sugar Molasses. Is mm-hmm. there a story about playing the song? We mentioned some of the themes of this album, but this one seemed like actually like mm-hmm. you know, it's a much brighter song. Mm-hmm. Is there a story behind how it came to be?
The whole album had already been recorded, and then this song, I think I was like shy with this song because it's so kind of this like 70s rock thing that I didn't know if people would get, or if I recorded it'd be silly or sound stupid. But anyways, we just decided to record it, and it turned out to be one of my favorite tracks on the album, and I guess
yeah, mine too.
Yeah, so this song is about just the frustration of people who take things for granted. And there's like several, it was like about several different men, you know, I'm like, hello, not all romantic, even just like, come on, like,
but all clueless.
Why don't you listen, you know, like, or, but yeah.
Well, before we go out, I just want to say thanks for joining us, playing some songs for us.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been real fun.
One note before the music, Casey Johansing has a show coming up this month, February 18th at the Chapel in San Francisco, with Fairlawns and EDJ, Eric D. Johnson, of the band The Fruit Bats. We'll post a link to that at our website, klw.org. Thanks today to Kevin Vance, who is our studio engineer. I hope you'll come back next week for a new artist, a new set of records, and a new story. It's Liner Notes.
Such strong haste, holding such delicate things, such a fast pace through the garden.